chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I enjoyed the lunch very, very much. It's one of the times I'm glad I'm a Baptist, amen. Man, we eat well. That beef was, those gnocchi was all right, eh? Yeah, that's, man. I'm gonna try not to be monotonous this afternoon so I don't put you to sleep, all right? If the title of the message this afternoon doesn't make sense, let me explain. It doesn't make sense to me either, all right? I struggle with naming these things. I think what I meant to say was love grows to completeness, not to complete, right? It's irrelevant anyway, right? It's just the title, all right? But 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 8. And this is message number 28 in this series that we're studying the book of 1 John. And I'm going to do a little bit of a recap, and then I want to get to the next bunch of verses and see what the Lord has for us. And I won't be long today. What's the time? It's only 1:07, so I'm not going to keep you. But there's a thought here that I really do want you to take home with you. The idea that the love in your life, and this is what the book of 1 John is all about, right? About the love of God. God's love in your life should manifest itself in spiritual growth, in a completeness, in a fullness of the Lord in your life. But let's have a read, and then we'll get stuck into it. All right. So it says 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, and it says, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, all right, or herein is our love made complete, that we may have boldness in when? In the day of judgment. Now that's a statement in and of itself, right? Herein is our love made complete or full, that you and I, we can have boldness or confidence in the day that we get judged, in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. And I love verse 18. One of the great highlights of the Bible is verse number 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has what? Torment. He that feareth is not made perfect, or is not made complete in love. Folks, look, I don't know what you go through. There are things that people in our church are going through, but verse number 18 should be your go-to verse when you need the comfort of God. Right, I remember when there's nothing like, Sister Carolyn will vouch for this, sitting opposite a doctor and he's saying, oh, I hate to tell you this, but you have cancer. Right, what's the first thing that comes into your heart and into your mind? Fear. Right, fear. And this verse absolutely helped me immensely. There is no fear in what? In love. And I love this. Perfect love, what does it do? Casteth out fear. One of the things that helped me get through cancer treatment and not knowing the future was the sheer understanding that God loves me. And God loves me unconditionally. And when you start to meditate on that, you start to recognize that, you start to preach this to yourself, the fear departs, because the Bible is true, folks. Right? Perfect love casteth out fear. And when God's love casts out the fear, you won't have time to be tormented, as the Bible says here. So we're going to talk about the love of God growing us to completion, to a fullness. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for just being able to be in church again this afternoon. Thank you for the ministry of your word, Lord. Thank you for what you've done here already. And Father, we just come asking just a little bit more today. Father, we pray that you'd bless your word, bless your people, give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith, Father. And we just pray that you would use the word preached this afternoon, that it would be mixed with faith, Lord, and be a blessing to your people. Accomplish your will. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said. So John has told us, as a part of a recap, John has told us that love is of God, that the love in our life does not come from us, but from God within us. And that we just direct that flow. 1 John 4, 7 to 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So he has told us that the best example of love is the Father sending the Son to the world to die for us, for our sins. Verse number 9, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the appeasement for our sins. And he then tells us on the basis of these facts that we ought to love each other like God loves us. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And we have discussed how we can do this because we have God in us. We have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And we know we have God in us because we have the assurance provided by that self-same Holy Spirit present in our lives. 1 John 4:12 and 13, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And he then takes a bit of a rabbit trail in reference to the Christ of our salvation that brings God to us and us to God. And he makes two statements. He makes two statements against limited atonement, which we've already spoken about, and a statement for the Trinity. In 1 John 4, 14 and 15, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we get to verse number 16 today, 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So what John here is reviewing his two main points. God is love, he loves us, and God is in us. And the way we love others is via the direct connection that we have with God, who is love. And then he gets to verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Herein is our love made complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. The word herein there in your verse, it means by this. By the herein, by now, what is the this? It is our deep belief that God loves us, and our deep understanding that the way we love others is connected with God. Then is our love made complete? Is our love made perfected, as the biblical word suggests? In other words, church, because we understand the two main points that he reviewed in verse number 16, love is perfected or grows to completion. So let me ask you a bit of a Bible question this afternoon. What is perfected love then? What is the fullness of love? Let me tell you something that I was discussing with someone today, folks. It's not the absence of mistakes. All right? It's not the absence of human error. It is a completeness. It's what we call a maturity. It is borrowed from Paul's phrase in Ephesians 3. We looked at a love that has breadth, a love that has length, a love that has depth, a love that has heights to it. It is a tangible, measurable, quantifiable love from the Lord that we can see and we can feel and you can handle the love of God. That's the completeness of the love of God. So what's the contrast to that? What is the other side of that or the opposite? How does that contrast with what we would call an imperfect love? It's still love, but it's not complete. It's not to the fullness of God. It's an imperfect love. An imperfect love is what I would call an immature love. It's a kiddie kind of love. It's the kind of love that gets thrown around in the world. You know, it's the kind of love that you would suggest, oh, I'm looking through a motorbike catalogue and I see the latest, you know, V4 Italian bred Ducati Panigale motorbike, and I go, oh man, I love that's an immature love. That's a kiddie kind of love. We're not talking biblical love there. And that has its place. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that's wrong. We just got to gauge it in the right light. Immature love. Immature love is how old are you, Alex? 13. Yeah, give it a couple more years, right? No? Let me put you on the spot. I'm going to give your mum a heart attack here. Immature love is like a 15-year-old Alex walks around in the playground and sees you don't go to a boys-only school, do you? No. All right? Okay? Alex, 15-year-old Alex walking around and he sees the girl of his dreams. And all of a sudden, you know, he's writing in his journal, I love. That's immature love, all right? It's coming, BJ. and that's got its place in the life of 50. I understand that. We're emotional beings and you know, we've got to teach our kids how to deal with those emotions, right? But it's an immature love. We understand what this is, complete fullness of love, the love of God we're talking about. This is what perfected love is. You see, folks, the kiddie love, the immature love is dependent on circumstances to make it flow. It's amazing on the playground how we have these feelings for this, but then that girl is talking to someone else and all of a sudden we don't love her anymore. All right? Because she loves my best friend, right? And this kind of kiddie love, the emotional love, it's always dependent on the situation. It's always dependent on what's going on. Oh, if you love me, then I love you. Oh, I'll love you as long as loving you makes me happy. But when I understand that love is God flowing through me to you, my love for others, folks, it starts to grow and mature and get better. My love has to move from immaturity to a maturity when it concerns the God and the things of God. And as we start moving to a mature kind of love for God and the things of God, then my love gets perfected. And that's why John says here is our love made complete. Here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Let me ask you an honest question, right? Don't raise your hand, but just answer it in your own heart. We see this world spiraling out of control and there's all these things going on. Oh, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But if I were to tell you that Jesus Christ was returning tonight, would you accept that with fear or with gratitude or with just you know, exhausted deliverance is coming? How would you receive? You know, there are many Christians that look at the coming of the Lord with fear. Because it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, and we're going to talk about, you and I will stand in judgment. Are you fearing standing before your Savior? Folks, if you have fear or trepidation about standing before Jesus Christ, not because he's going to judge your sin, because that's dealt with, amen, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's going to look at your life. What did you do with the life that I gave you? And if we're fearful about standing before God and giving an account for the life that he has given me and my service to him, then can I humbly say to you, your love is not perfected. Your love is not made complete and your love is not full because, as we read there, the perfected love gives us what? Boldness at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us boldness. This love being perfected, as the Bible says, allows me to be confident when I face my judgment day. And again, we're not talking about the great white throne judgment, but the Bema seat. And so I'm commanded not only to love, but to be in its maturity in the way that I love as a Christian. Am I just to love my wife? Is that how God expects me to love Corinne? No. He expects me to love my wife how? Like Christ? One is, if I just say, I love my wife, and I do, I love my Coco, right? That's immature love. And again, nothing wrong with it. It's appropriate. You know, that's appropriate to write those things in a Valentine's Day card. But when I think of my relationship with her and the way that I choose to show that to her, it needs to be this way. This is mature love. This is perfected love. I am to love my wife the way Christ loved the church. How am I supposed to love my God? Am I supposed to walk around as a majority of Christianity walks around? Oh, everything's all right because I love Jesus. No, I am to love God with all of my heart and with all of my soul and with all of my mind and with all of my strength. That's perfected love, folks. That's complete. How am I to love the Word of God? I just love the Word of God. Oh, I love the Bible. Yeah, but do I pick it up? Do I read it? Do I study it? Do I underline it? Is it the source of my necessary food? That's kiddie love, folks, if I don't do that. I love the Bible. We all love the Bible, amen? But how many of us actually love the Bible the way God says to love His Word? It's our source of everything. Folks, we all hate sin, and we all love righteousness. And God's people said? Well, some of you are convinced. I know, it's afternoon message, I get it. We love righteousness. But does it show in its incompleteness, in the choices that we make? That's a fullness, that's perfected love, love righteousness. I'm commanded to love, especially in relation to those around me whom I can love in Christ's stead. Folks, I'm supposed to love my enemies the way Jesus loves them. Better easier said than done, amen? But I'm supposed to. A perfected love doesn't easily give up on that. You know, look, all of us have enemies, and we know we're supposed to love them, but we all say to ourselves sometimes, I just can't. And then we justify it, not doing it, but like I spoke this morning, it's the grace of God, God's okay. God's not okay with it. Just because we don't get what we deserve doesn't mean God's okay with it. Aren't you glad for God's grace? Amen. An immature love gives up easily, especially towards my enemies, especially towards those people that annoy me. And because of this, when that kind of love faces an examination, it always knows, folks, that it's in trouble. And even now, preaching this, you know, you're sitting there and some of you are under conviction about, the Holy Spirit is examining your life and how you're dealing with these people that give you headaches and give you problems and cause you grief. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you, yeah, what preacher is saying is true and you're to love them and it understands that. It knows, you understand that this is a troubling point. Generally speaking, the Christian's love when compared to 1 Corinthians 13, always seems to fall short. And you know 1 Corinthians 13, folks, the love chapter. And yet a mature love perseveres, folks. It endeavors to keep going. And the byproduct is a clear conscience, a quiet confidence that my love for others will stand the test of judgment. Because as he, so are we in the world. And we are confident because we are going through life in this world just as Jesus went through life in his world. Are we living like he is? Folks, he is our model. He's the standard. Have we learned to love those around us like Christ did? Can I challenge you this afternoon, folks? Has your love been matured? Is it perfected? Is it complete? Or is it still this kiddie immature type of emotional thing? You know, we are in the world and we're interacting with it. We're loving it. We're ministering to it with the heart and the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be. Remember 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So having read verse number 18 again, what is the identifying characteristic of perfect and mature love? What makes that? Go to verse number 18. Let's see. I don't want to just tell you. Listen to the Holy Spirit as you read his word. And I want him to reveal it to you. Look, there is no what? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So again, having read verse number 18, what is the identifying characteristic of a perfect, mature love? Folks, it is the absence of what? Fear. It is the absence of fear. Absence of fear in who? The one who is loving or the one who is being loved? Let me tell you, I think it's both. All of it. As far as God is concerned, I have no fear that he will stop loving me. I am completely secure in that. I have no fear in my circumstances because I know that I'm in the sovereign hands of a God who loves me so deeply. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Doesn't matter what's going on in my life. It doesn't matter what I'm diagnosed with. Doesn't matter of my circumstances. I know that God loves me, and that will never change. And why am I secure in that? Folks, you just got to look to the cross. Amen. If you ever wonder if God loves you, he did that for you. How can you not be secure in that? If that doesn't convince you, read Romans 8, 38 and 39. Listen to this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, that's talking about the devil, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Man, that gives me confidence. Amen. Well, as far as my love for others is concerned, they have no fear that I will stop loving, that I should love them so well, so completely, that they too are completely secure in that. So in the end, I have no fear of my judgment day because I love like Jesus loves. And beloved, that is what God calls us to. Love like Jesus loves. Now, I know that was a lengthy introduction. So with all that, by way of introduction, let me give you three very short practical points, right? There's a bit of doctrine in there. So let me give you three short things. Number one, just loving is not enough. We've got to seek to love like God. We've got to seek to love better, folks. The Christian life is not simply about whether we love, but how well we love like Jesus. John says in verse 17 that our love is made perfect. That means our love should grow and mature and deepen. The problem is many Christians are satisfied with their immature love. Many Christians are just satisfied with that kiddie type of love, with just the emotional heart of side of things. And so they live their life like that. They love when it's convenient. They only love when it's reciprocated. They love when it costs them very little. But perfected love must grow beyond that. A mature love says, I will love because God loves me, God loves through me, not because you deserve it. So what does that mean? That means I keep to choose loving you when I'm misunderstood. I choose to keep loving when I'm hurt and discouraged and disappointed. I choose to keep loving when it actually costs me something. And my friends, that is the difference between love that is natural and love that is spiritual. Again, you see, the goal of the Christian life is not just to say, well, you know, I love people. I love, but no, the goal is to say my life today is deeper and stronger and more Christ-like than it was a year ago. I mean, can I ask you honestly, folks, did you mature in this in 2025? I was talking to Izzy this afternoon. I mean, I can't believe we're already in March. But we've grown in all these areas of our Christian life. Has that area of my love, has that grown in spirituality? It should grow because when God's love is flowing through us, it should keep us growing. So the question this afternoon that I want to ask you is not simply, do I love people? The question is my love growing for people? Am I loving more like Christ today than I did yesterday? Because love that stays the same is not a perfecting love, folks. Perfect love grows to completion. Point number two. Our love doesn't get better by thinking about who we love. Our love gets better by thinking about God's love. Now, most of you guys have been around church for a while, and you probably figured out by now that I am a sentimental kind of guy. And if you haven't figured that out, you will. And when I think of people and I think of events, I think about, you know, what they've done, where they've been. I think about what some of you have endured. I think about what some of you have gone through and sadly what some of you will go through. I begin to feel a tenderness, a soft-heartedness towards these things. But the reality is, folks, that's not true. That's not true love in me. Love is of God in me, flowing out through me. And the way to better love is not by stirring up my emotions, folks. The way to love better is to understand Jesus Christ better. To live a life of love more like He did. It is making the conscious choice to relate to people, to relate to situations, to deal with the heart of men, of all men, the way Jesus did. That's completeness of the love of God. And as I contemplate God's love for me and God's love for the world, I begin to see just how He wants me to love the people in my life. My love then is maturing and mature and is heading towards completion to this biblical word called perfectedness or perfect. Now, a good Bible character to exemplify that again, as I spoke to you about this morning, is Peter. Why? Because we literally see Peter's love, we literally see his love deepens as he understands the Lord that loves him. We see the transformation in Peter's life. We see this in Peter. Again, I'll use the reference that I used this morning. The night that Jesus was betrayed by Peter, can I tell you folks, did Peter's love triumph or did Peter's love fail? It failed. He denied the Lord three times. And we know that, yeah, but let me tell you, after the resurrection, when Peter stood face to face with the risen Christ and was confronted with Christ's love for him in John chapter 21, folks, his love began to mature. When confronted with the risen Christ and the love for him, his love began to be completed and perfected, as the Bible says. And from that point forward, Peter became a man who boldly loved Christ and sacrificially served others, even unto death. So even in Peter's life, his love grew when he understood Christ's love for him. Why are some of us still in this immature kiddie love type of life? We're so circumstantial in the way we deal with people and circumstances, and we're emotional and we come up and down and side to side and we're flung all over the place emotionally. And why? Folks, dare I say, some of us haven't understood what the love of God means to us. Some of us haven't understood what standing before the risen Christ means to us personally. Jesus didn't just die on the cross for you. He didn't just pay the penalty of sin for you. You understand that, right? I mean, this is Christianity 101. Was Jesus dying on the cross enough for you? If he stayed dead, him dying on the cross would have accomplished your salvation? No, folks. What was needed in the gospel for it to accomplish the gospel? Exactly. The resurrection. And for some of us to understand that Christ rose for us, Jesus Christ rose from the dead for me, we need to come face to face, just like Peter did, with the resurrected Christ, to maybe understand the love of God that flows through us and for us. For the more clearly we see Christ's love for us, the more completely Christ's love flows through us. And I believe when we see His love for us clearly, then we start loving others the way we should. Let me give you the last point and we're done. This is probably the most practical, so listen up. The amount of fear in us and around us is the proportion that our love has room to grow better still. Let me say that again. The amount of fear in us and around us is the proportion that our love has room to grow better still in our lives. So let me do the mathematics with you here a little bit, okay? We know what perfect love is. Right? Perfect, complete, mature love is what? 100% love and how much percent fear? None, right? Because the Bible told us, perfect love, what does it do? Casts it out. So we know that perfect love equals 100% love and 0% fear. Let me put it in context again. My love for my son, okay? My love for my son, Gabriel. Let me give you an illustration here. So if I have 30% fear of my judgment day, then folks, I have 30% more room to grow in perfecting my love. And if Gabby has 40% fear that I don't love him or will stop loving him, then I have a 40% more room to grow in perfecting my love for him. Does that make sense? As much as fear is in me, is how much I need to grow in love. So as long as fear is present, our love has room to grow, folks. And let me tell you something that you've probably already figured out. This side of eternity, since no one will arrive at this perfection, there should always, always be room to grow. Because none of us at any stage are completely without fear. None of us. There should always be room to grow, because perfect love casteth out fear. The question is, how much do we actually admit to? How much do we actually admit that we're fearful about? Because as long as we deny it, folks, we're deceiving ourselves. So let me encourage you in something. The fear that you have, little, small, sideways, in between, I don't care. So the fear that you do have, fear is not always a bad thing, practically speaking. Because the presence of fear becomes a sort of like a diagnostic tool for your love. It helps you diagnose the room for growth in love in your life. So if there is fear in my heart towards God for any kind of thing, then my understanding of his love has still room to grow. Let me get personal with you for a moment. You know, how many of you fear that God's going to take one of your children home? Do you reckon there's room for your love to grow? There's a fear there, right? It's not a bad thing, folks. That means I can grow in this area. I can grow. How many of you dads fear that you won't be able to provide for your family? There's room to grow. Amen? How many of you fear that you'll get those words from the other side of the table by the doctor, "Sir, I'm sorry, you got stage 4 cancer"? Is that a fearful thing? It's a diagnostic thing, folks. I have room to grow in my love. Use it to acknowledge that I need to grow in this area. I need to grow in the way I'm dealing with God. I need to grow in the way I'm dealing with people. I need to grow in the way I'm dealing with people that are my enemies. If there is fear in my heart towards others, my love still has room to mature. As long as I look at others with any level of disdain, of any level of unforgiveness, or anything, if I look at any level of an un-Christ-like spirit, folks, there's room to grow. And the first step in growing is to understand that there's room to grow. Perfect love pushes out fear out of the room, folks. So the challenge for us this afternoon is simple. Where there is fear, and any kind of fear, let us grow, because there's room for growth. Let us grow our love. Where there is uncertainty, let us love more clearly. Where there is doubt, let us love more consistently. So ask yourself honestly, we're almost done. Do the people closest to me feel secure in my love? Do I live with confidence in God's love for me? You know, some of us, I'll expand this point. Some of us live our Christian life like Daisy lives in our home. Right? Some of us have no confidence in the love that God has for us. And we live like my puppy lives in my home. She walks around and she walks around the house. right? Because she's waiting for the oi in the puppy pad. Oi, not the clothes on the clothesline. Oi, stop chewing the cable, right? So I'm always screaming at this poor dog, right? And we live like that, folks. We live our Christian life like that with no confidence in the love of God. Do I live with confidence in God's love for me? You know, God's children shouldn't look over their shoulder at the Heavenly Father. And if we are, then there's room for growth. Is fear still taking up space where love should be growing and flourishing? Folks, because the Christian life is a lifelong journey of love being perfected, my dear church. And every place where fear still lives in our heart is simply an invitation from our loving God for our love to grow deeper still. Because perfect love casteth out, let's grow in our love. Amen. Let's stand and let's pray and we'll be done. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads, no one looking around. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the great love wherewith you loved us. Thank you for your love towards us. Thank you, Lord, that love towards us is sure and constant and unchanging through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, help us now to examine our own hearts. Show us the places where fear still remains. The places where our love is still immature and where we need to grow to love as Christ loved. Teach us to rest more deeply, Lord, in your love for us and let that love flow through us to the people around us, Father God. So, Father, I guess what we ask this afternoon is that you would help us, Lord, to love better, to love more like the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to love more faithfully, more sacrificially, and help us to love more consistently so that our love might be perfected, made complete as your word teaches. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us today would make a decision before you to grow in this matter of love, to understand your love more clearly, to walk closer with Christ and to allow your love to cast out fear from our hearts and from the lives of those around us. We thank you, Lord, that your love casteth out fear. And we ask these in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, all right, thank you for your patience. Let's go ahead and stay standing as